The Neurotic Chronicles, Part 1, by Edward Champion. I woke up screaming for the third time that night. This time it was a nightmare that involved splitting a ham on rye with Richard Nixon at a roadside diner. Dick wasn't looking too good. He was sweating profusely, the furrows under his thinning hairline writhing, demanding attention. I looked around for a television camera. I saw only the hazy image of American Bandstand on a fuzzy black and white TV. The ghostly image of teenagers dancing. Pat Molitori was showing some other kids how to do the hop. The waitress was sitting on a stool watching all this. Her lower lip dangled in awe. Her feet tapped at Wayne Eddy's twang. I knew that a coffee refill wasn't in the cards. All this troubled Dick when he noticed my gaze. He insisted that there was room in this country for only one man named Dick, and that Mr. Clark would have to answer to him. I wiped the corners of my mouth with a thin paper napkin. Dick asked me what I was doing. I told him that I was wiping off my drool. I was hungry, but I didn't enjoy drooling in front of elder statesmen. It lacked decorum, particularly with dead presidents I held in low regard.
"You can salivate in front of me, kid," said Dick. "You're not one of those communist lowlifes."
"No," I said, "just a citizen coping at the crossroads." Dick told me that he was taping this conversation without my consent, and then Dick asked me if I enjoyed bowling. I pointed out to him that bowling alleys weren't profitable in a city where commercial real estate was so expensive, and that, as a result, I had missed out on many seminal bowling moments in my 20s. My game was no longer good. At this point, Dick unearthed a bulky leather case that he had been hiding under the table. He opened this and dumped a medium-sized tan bowling ball onto the formica, causing the tiny urn of cream to tip over and spill onto the ham on rye.
"You've spoiled our sandwich," I said. "You've upset the moral fiber of this country," shrieked Dick, and he stood up, raising the bowling ball above his head, just as he was about to bear down with the bowling ball and turn my noggin into a winter cantaloupe.
I woke up, disoriented, filling the room with my howl, conscious of the dread of drool and the deadly digits on the clock telling me that it was 3:45 in the morning. There was a knock on the door. I turned the locks and slid the chain over and saw my neighbor staring at me in a nightgown. He was 32 and worked in the pharmaceutical industry. He had a crudely grown mustache, sandy, tousled hair, overly developed arms, and the unfortunate surname of Wilson. Wilson remained frozen in place. There was a look of ambiguous moral defeat on his face. I was hoping that Wilson would jab me in the chest with his pinky or demand accountability with a harsh, masculine gesture. Finally, he broke the ice.
"Do you know what time it is?" said Wilson.
"Are you having problems sleeping too?" I asked.
"Yes, now that you mention it."
"Are you hungry?" I asked. "Could you use something to eat?"
There's a 24-hour Vietnamese place that serves good pho.
Wilson told me to meet in the vestibule in 20 minutes.